Chapter 19.
Man, are you slight in the head?
The older guard of the deep said.
Get back away from there, Jason.
It was the same man who'd warned Gourley about his musings days ago. Older, gruff in nature. Gourley continued to stare at the glassy black surface that covered the deep. The oily image shimmered and warbled. He teetered closer to the edge. What he needed was down there. He could feel it. He also knew somehow that he had been down there before. If he could only get back down there, he knew he would find his memories. His booted toes eclipsed the edge.
Get back here, you fool!
The senior guard said.
We already have one to feed him. We don't need two.
Gourley turned. A tall, rangy man with a thick black beard stood shackled between two guards. His clothes were ornate but disheveled, and he had a weary look about him.
Tell you what, Rook,
the lead guard said, spitting juice from his mouth.
I'll let you lead this man into the edge. You can even watch the Phantom snatch him up.
Phantom?
The prisoner said. He cringed backward. The guard shoved him forward.
No. I'm supposed to be put in jail. Not the deep. My sentence is only over.
The guard walloped him in the back of the head with a small club. The prisoner collapsed in a heap and the two men dragged him over to the rim.
Go ahead,
the senior guard said to Gourley.
Roll him in there.
Gourley hooked the man beneath the arms.
But please, mercy. Don't throw me in there. I'll do anything.
The wind stirred, and a whoop of cries came up and out of the deep. Covering his ears, the prisoner balled up, trembling and teeth chattering. The center of the black water stirred and started spinning in a swift circle. A dark, oily form rose in the middle, dripping with sludge and goo. The prisoner howled and bucked. The guard scurried to the other side of the bars and slammed the gate shut. Gourley heard one guard's armored knees knocking.
Get away from there!
The veteran guard said.
Get away!
The Phantom, a towery faceless ghoul, stretched its elongated arms out and made a shrieking howl. The ghostly hands engulfed the screaming man's entirety and pressed him deep down into the sludge. Gourley stood chin up, facing it. The Phantom tilted its head and shrieked again. Gourley hunkered down, covering his head. Its hands enveloped him. Ice raced through his veins, and down he went, spinning and spinning and spinning. Coughing, Gourley struggled to his knees. The prisoner lay beside him, wide-eyed and shaking. Above, the well of the deep showed a dim light hundreds of feet up. All signs of the Phantom were gone. He reached over and touched the man. The prisoner jerked and sputtered. Gourley said, wiping slime from the man's face.
I'll check on you later.
He rose to his feet, swaying, and staggered forward until he regained his balance. A long corridor of cut stone and ancient symbols led out into several illuminated tunnels. He could hear shrill cackles, rustling chains, and the scuffle of bare and booted feet. He rubbed his chin, summoned his power, and shape shifted. His mannish frame shrunk a foot. His arms corded up with muscle. Long yellow nails grew from the tips of his fingers. He tore off his shirt and ripped up his pants into tatters, then said in a raspy voice,
I'm a goblin.
Though he didn't remember much about the deep, he knew there were plenty of creatures from all the races down here. He'd heard the guards and their stories. He hobbled along the corridor and followed the stairs up to another level of caves that led to an overlook of a grand chamber hundreds of feet wide and deep. He took a few quick breaths. The stale air was rank with sweat, suffocating. Covering his nose, he spied down below. Scores of prisoners milled about. Men, orcs, half-orcs, gnolls, goblins, lizard men, and even a few halflings. More still lay on the ground. Others, blemished and shaking with fevers, huddled in corners. Some sat with their legs dangling over the ledges, up near the small cave-like tombs that encircled the arena. Hunched over and dragging a foot, Gorley made his way along the rim and climbed down one of the ladders that led to the bottom floor. Not a single eye drifted his way. He wrung his goblin hands.
Excellent.
Now he just had to find the part of him that was missing. The part that called to him from its burial down here. He milled about, staring at faces and listening to conversations. The prisoners were all marred in some way or another. An orc was missing both eyes and one leg. A bugbear had no teeth. A halfling was covered head to toe in warts and chattering rapidly to himself. Many were hapless, and others formidable. Another goblin with ruddy skin and both fingers missing from one hand bumped into him and muttered a curse. Its beady eyes bore into him. Gorley turned away. He'd spent months blending in, imitating anyone and everything, serving Celine's dark purposes. The last thing he needed to do now was to draw unwanted attention to himself. Disguised or not, until he found whatever it was he was looking for, he needed to lay low, at least until he figured it out. A firm hand grabbed and squeezed his shoulder. He turned and found himself face to face with the goblin.
I don't remember you,
it said in goblin.
What's your name?
Some of the other prisoners gathered around, hemming the pair of them in. Gorley balled up his fist and slugged the fingerless goblin in the jaw. A raucous chorus of cries went up and a circle of bodies closed in. The goblin, dismayed, picked up a stone and lunged at Gorley. It drove the stone into his gut and socked him in the head. Gorley punched and kicked. It clawed and bit. Blood dripped over his eyes. He wrapped the goblin in a headlock.
What you do?
The goblin cried.
What you do?
There was fear in his voice. The crowd chanted, arms pumping at the two of them.
To the death! To the death! To the death!
Gorley squeezed the goblin's neck, making its eyes bulge. It tugged and pulled at his arm, but Gorley held him fast. He had no love of goblins. But he was no killer either. Not yet, at least. He released the goblin. It fell to its knees, coughing and wheezing. A bugbear shoved him forward. Other prisoners began shoving him as well.
To the death,
they demanded.
That is how we live.
It seemed there was a code in the deep. In order to keep the peace, such squabbles among the prisoners were made fatal. Gorley set his jaw and filled his hand with the stone. The rank bodies resumed their clamor. It was a dark and depraved moment. The goblin dove onto his legs and drove him to the ground. Gorley struck a blow to its back, drawing a howl. Back and forth they tussled, one rolling over the other. The goblin locked its claws on his neck. Gorley swatted it in the ribs with a stone, bringing forth a grunt. The pair locked up arms and legs. It buttered its mangy head under his skin. He held on.
By time.
Gorley glanced through the faces in the crowd. He could turn into any one of them and get away if they closed in further.
Need another escape.
Suddenly, the crowd dispersed at the sound of a thunderous voice.
What have we here? A battle?
The Triant, Bletfer, lorded over them, leering downward with hairy knuckles dragging the ground. Part giant, part troll. Gorley knew something of what it was, based off the stories he'd overheard. But deep inside his mind, a spark flashed.
He started it,
the goblin squealed.
Mercy, Lord Bletfer! Mercy!
I do not recognize this goblin,
Bletfer snorted in the air.
But all stink to me.
He bent his great mass downward. A bright yellow stone dangled by chains on his neck, catching Gorley's eyes.
That's it. I can feel it.
His grip on the goblin loosened, and it twisted from his grasp. It went down on knees and elbows. Bletfer's arms lashed out, snatching them both from the ground in his oversized hands. Gorley's eyes bugged out, and his bones groaned.
Perhaps I kill you both.
The Triant's eyes fixed on Gorley.
You are unfamiliar, and a strange scent consumes you.
His throat rumbled.
Odd, yet familiar.
Gorley stared at the yellow stone hanging on Bletfer's sagging neck by a chain. Inside, the stone throbbed and swirled. He stretched his fingers towards it.
You like that?
Bletfer said.
Well, that is mine.
It heaved Gorley up and slammed him to the ground. Its hand began to grind him into the stone floor. Gorley absorbed the stone's features and became harder than the rock itself.
What is this?
Gorley regained his feet and now stood a stone goblin and kept on growing. Bletfer's dark eyes widened.
No, no, it cannot be.
Gorley stood eye to eye with the Triant now, and watched it start to back away.
You!
Bletfer chanted.
It can't be.
Give me that stone,
Gorley said, holding out his hand. Bletfer engulfed it with his great hands.
Never!
Gorley pounced. He picked up Bletfer and slammed him to the ground. Some of the other prisoners gathered what they could and attacked Gorley. He grew another size larger than Bletfer and let his stone fists loose. Bletfer reeled. The Shamal stone slipped out from his fingers.
No!
Bletfer whined.
No, not again!
Gorley smashed the yellow stone into the ground. Its essence filled him. His memories flooded his mind. Tears streamed from his eyes. He dropped to his knees, with his face lit up with elation. A broad smile formed on his rock goblin face.
Time to go,
he said, swatting away his assailants. He turned back to Bletfer. The Triant sagged against the chamber wall, chins buried in its chest. It didn't even glance his way.
Go,
Bletfer grumbled.
And return never again.
Gorley sauntered out of the chamber and squeezed back down the corridor that led him to the pit. The other prisoner was gone. He rubbed his chin and looked up into the well of the deep. He recalled the icy grip and daunting powers of the Phantom.
I did it once. I can do it again.
He reached up, dug his hands into the walls, and started shimmying up the well. The howl of a Phantom shrieked in his ears. Its black ghostly form coated him like black ice and tried to force him down.
We meet again,
Gorley said. He scrambled up the tunnel with the Phantom shrieking inside his mind. The blood in his veins became icy water, but he did not slow. He could feel the Phantom's anger and hatred tearing at him from the inside. Gorley's goal was a beacon of light. He had to get up top and help his friend, Nath Dragon. His own deceptions and guilt fueled his inner fire.
You couldn't stop me last time,
Gorley grunted.
And you won't stop me now.
He laughed.
Twice I will have escaped your precious deep.
The Phantom was a force, a guardian with a mission. It had little intelligence of its own, just a mission. Don't let anything escape this tunnel. It was all it had ever known. The higher Gorley climbed, the more the monster energy faded. Near the top, it drifted away. Its mission, a failure.
I'll be,
Gorley said with a grin. The Phantom was gone. His fingers reached the rim and he changed form again, back into the guard named Jason. Climbing out of the deep, he found himself standing naked in front of the other guards. They all gaped at him. He covered himself and said,
Sorry, Commander, but I seem to have lost my trousers.
Gulping and scratching his head, the veteran guard said,
I can't believe that's all you lost. Now fetch yourself a new uniform and stay away from the rim.
He tossed Gorley a cloak.
Sultans of Sulphur. The youth do the most foolish things.